Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
We're still in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I read one time, someone said, even when Paul says, now I speak of my spirit, not of the Spirit of God, it is still inspired. Even when he says, this is my idea, it's still inspired. And never lose sight of that. Every word is here because the Holy Spirit wants it here. And so when he says that I am the apostle of the Gentiles, that's not an egotistical man talking, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. And so now when he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now we spent the whole last half hour defining a dispensation. I hope we got it through. And now what's the difference? Well, I put it on the board years ago when we were still clear back there, I think, in the Old Testament, that over here at Mount Sinai, God, in Exodus chapter 3, which was, of course was God the Son, but nevertheless it calls it God, God spoke to Moses up there on Mount Sinai, and he gave to Moses the law. And then Moses takes the law down to the nation of Israel, and he dispenses it. And we pointed that out in our last half hour. God gave the law to Moses. Moses takes the law and dispenses it to the nation of Israel. And so this was actually then the dispensation of law. And that's the way we look at it in the Scriptures. All right, now then, some 1,500 years later, after the Damascus Road experience for Saul of Tarsus, or as we later know Paul, the same God, as I pointed out in the last half hour, God never changes. He is absolute. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only now God's going to do something different, which is his prerogative. He's sovereign. Now he calls out to Mount Sinai a different man, and it is what we now refer to as the Apostle Paul. And to Paul, he reveals these doctrines of grace. And Paul, in turn, dispenses these doctrines of grace, not so much to the nation of Israel, but to the Gentiles. Now, of course, in both cases, the law is going to have an influence on Gentiles, and grace is going to have an influence on the Jew. But as a group, the dispensation of law was given through Moses to Israel. The dispensation of the grace of God was given through the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles. Now, there's only one other place in the New Testament where that term is used explicitly. And come back to me, I think it's in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, and look at verse 24. Now, in all the other places in Paul's writings, he may refer to this gospel as the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, my gospel, and various others. But here in Acts 24, as well as in Ephesians chapter 3, he refers to it as the grace of God. Acts 20, verse 24. But, he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify or to speak forth the gospel of the grace of God. See how plain that is? This was Paul's whole ministry, was to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. All right, now I think it may be appropriate, if you come back to Ephesians chapter 3, that now we can look at the word grace for just a moment. That's the next word in the verse. That if you have heard of the dispensation or that administration of God which dispensed grace. Now, as I said in my opening remarks in the last program, very few people have any idea of the grace of God. I don't claim to know all that much. It's beyond human understanding that a sovereign, eternal, creator God would do what he did simply because he loved the human race. And that was that he took on human flesh, walked amongst men for 3 years, the dusty roads of the land of what we now call Canaan or Israel, and then ended up going to the cross to suffer the most horrible death ever invented, all because of his love for mankind. And through that death on the cross, he was able then to pay the price of redemption for the whole human race, not just for a few chosen ones, but for the whole race. Now listen, that's grace, and that's beyond our comprehension. He didn't have to do that. He could have just zapped the human race and started over. But from day one, from the time that Adam and Eve first fell in the garden, on up to the rebellious multitudes just before the flood, on up to the Tower of Babel, when again that group of humanity met in pagan consort, God could have zapped them, but he didn't. And he let them go on until he was able to find one man 200 years later in Ur of the Chaldees, we know as Abram or Abraham, and began again something totally different, all because he refused to give up on the human race. And why didn't he? Grace. And so everything that God does and the patience of God toward the human race is all because of his grace. Now, I call it an attribute. I had a seminary president that we were talking about, and he said, well, Les, I've never thought of it as an attribute. Well, how else can you look at it? It is something that is in the very makeup of the eternal God that prompts him to pour out all this unmerited favor and love on a rebellious human race. And all we have to do is just look around us today and just stop and think for a minute, why does God put up with it when everything is flying in his face in total rebellion? All he'd have to do is speak the word and we could all be gone. But he doesn't. And why doesn't he? Grace. Grace. Unmerited favor. Now, you see, under the law, that wasn't the case. Law was demanding. Law, as I've said so often, at least in my Oklahoma classes, law was what, Jerry? Severe. It was severe. And there was no bending it. If you broke the law back when they were in its pure early stages, you broke the law invariably. What was the penalty? Death. Death. No questions asked, see? And so that was the law. There wasn't grace in that, except that it was still the grace of God that was bringing a way for man to come back. But law was legalism. It was severe. It was the opposite of grace. But now, on this side of the cross, in fact, I guess I should put this up here. Now, on this side of the cross, the same God who gave the law in all its severity to Moses and took it to Israel, God now opens up the windows of heaven and grace, and through this apostle, this is where it all began. And again, I just can't emphasize enough that it's through this man's writings that we have the opening of the door of grace. Now, some people say, well, Les, don't you make too much of Paul? No. Paul, as he said, he followed Christ, and Paul knew only one thing, and that was Christ crucified, risen from the dead. And so we don't elevate Paul above that. But, you see, God, as he kept things secret, as we saw in our last half hour, has decided that it's through this man that he would reveal the things that had been kept secret. And that's why Paul over and over uses the term revelation. That God revealed to me, and he revealed them such and such. And it's over and over this reference to a revelation. Now, the other argument I sometimes get, and I praise the Lord, we don't get many. We get very few arguments of all the mail that we get. And usually it's over water baptism, where they have to make it sound like if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. And that's the only argument I get. And then, of course, when I read back or write back and answer that this is what Paul has said, then they'll come right back and they say, but we go by what the Bible says, not what Paul says. You've heard it. Well, we use the whole Bible. We don't just use Paul. Well, I have been able to shut more than one mouth by, and I'll let you do it here, and my television audience can see what I'm talking about. If you're going to come back at me and say, well, I do what the whole Bible says, then I take you right back to Leviticus chapter 5, and let's look at it. This is a fun exercise. It really is. This is fun. Because it says it so plainly. Now, I could use any other portion of the Old Testament, but this one says it so clearly. And it's not real deep theological. It's just an everyday possibility for any one of us. Leviticus chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And if a soul or a person sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, he shall, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. In other words, I guess you'd have to say, unless he would tell the priest or somebody what this individual has said, then he's guilty. See? All right, but then come on down to verse 2. Or if a soul or a living person shall touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or unclean cattle or anything like that, if he touch it, he shall be unclean, and what's the next word? Guilty! All right, now let's just for sake of time come all the way down to verse 5. Now, if a person, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing, and he shall. What is that? That's a command. Boy, there's no getting around it. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned. And then he goes on to say what kind of a sacrifice he has to bring. All right, now you know what I say? That's what the Bible says. Didn't it? Plain as day, the Bible says if you touch a dead animal, you will bring a sacrificial offering. That's what the Bible says. Do you do it? No. Does God expect you to do it? No. Why? Because this was law. See? This was all part of what Moses instructed Israel. And we're not under that economy. That's another good word. We're not under this economy. We're under this one. And so when people say, well, I go by what all the Bible says, they get their foot in their mouth before they can even turn around, because there are so many things back here that just cannot be done today. You don't do that. And so what's the difference? You've got to separate law and grace. Now, you see, Paul will never tell you that if you touch something dead, you go and offer a sacrifice someplace, does he? No. That's not part of grace whatsoever. And so always keep these things straight, that when I say that we have to listen to the apostle of the Gentiles, that doesn't mean that we don't read the rest of Scripture. That doesn't mean that it isn't profitable. Of course it is. All of these things written back here, even though it was law, it's still profitable because it shows us the very mind of a holy God. It shows us what it was like to live under the yoke of bondage, which is what the law really was. It's what Peter called it in Acts chapter 15. It's what Paul calls it in Galatians. It was a yoke of bondage. We're not under a yoke of bondage. We've been set free from all that, see? All right, now coming back to Ephesians chapter 3 for just a split second. We won't stay there very long. But now it says that if we have heard of the dispensation or the economy or the administration of the grace of God, and like I've shown, that law came to Israel through Moses, how in the world did the doctrines of grace get to the Gentiles? Well, the next part of the verse is so plain. If you have heard of this dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, word. You see what that says? You have no idea how many times I've had someone at my now famous kitchen table, and I will tell them this very concept, that all of our doctrines of grace come from Paul. Well, where do you get that? Well, here's one good example. This is just one. And they'll read it. Well, I don't see what you're getting at. Well, you didn't read it. Yeah, I did. No, you didn't. Read it again. Iris knows. She's heard me go through this more than once. Read it again. And then the third or fourth time, then they'll finally, oh, I never saw that before. And I dare say there's multitudes like that. And here it is. The dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to Paul, just like I got it here on the board, and Paul, through inspiration and by the grace of God, has brought it to us Gentiles. Isn't that easy? All right, now let's just show you from Scripture what we're talking about. Come back with me to, I hardly know where to start first. There's just so much of this. Let's start in 2 Corinthians. I'm debating whether to use Galatians first and then Corinthians, or Corinthians then the Galatians. But I'm going to use Corinthians, just for sake of chronological order in your Bible. Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 5. Because just like he had to deal in 1 Corinthians with the Corinthian believers who wanted to follow Peter rather than Paul, others wanted to follow Jesus rather than Paul. And their whole concept was that Paul was something less than those fellows at Jerusalem. And this is what he had to overcome. And we covered this quite in detail when we taught the Corinthian letters. All right, but this is review. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he writes, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Wow. What does that say? I'm not a half a step behind Peter. See, they were trying to put Peter up above him. He said, I'm not one whit behind that chiefest apostle. Now, I think we all agree that would have to be Peter. Maybe John, but whatever. I think most people would say, no, that was Peter. He's not one whit behind him. Now, if he's not behind him, where is he? Well, he's either beside him or ahead of him. All right, now the next one. Same chapter, verse 22. Now, this puts him out a step ahead, see. Verse 22, speaking of the Jerusalem leadership, which would include the 12 as well as some of the other head people of the Jerusalem assembly. Paul says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? Now, see, this in parentheses, he says, I speak as a fool, but it's still Spirit-inspired. I am what? More. See how plain that is? That's the Holy Spirit writing through the pen of the Apostle Paul, that Paul is more the minister of Christ than anybody back there at Jerusalem. And this is what we have to understand. All right, let's go on one more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sorry. Chapter 12, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He says, I'm become a fool in glorying, and Paul didn't like to. Paul didn't like to have to boast, but he had to, in order to convince especially the Corinthians that he was a special instrument in God's hands. So he said, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. You forced me. For I ought to have been commended of you. Now, what's he driving at? It was this man who brought these people out of their abject paganism. It was his message that set them free and brought them into a relationship with Christ. It was this man's gospel that brought these pagan Corinthians into a life of morality and hope for eternity. See? And so he says, you should have commended me for bringing you out of that darkness. Instead, they're putting him down and said, well, you're not who you claim to be. All right, read on. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles? Where did that put him? Well, not behind them. Maybe beside them, but the other verse says he was in front of them. So what does it tell you? This is the man that is given and has been ordained of God to go to the Gentiles. And he claims it over and over. All right, now that should suffice for that part. Now turn on a little further to Galatians, just a couple pages, to Galatians chapter 1. And this is all to back up his claim now in Ephesians 3, verse 2, that the dispensation of the grace of God, which God has given to me, to you were. And the you were there are Gentiles. Galatians 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I'm not following in some other man's footsteps. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by, here it comes now, the word I've been warning you about, by the what? The revelation. See? The revealing of a secret that had been kept covered in the mind of God according to the El Olam that we looked at in the last program, or the Deuteronomy 29:29, God hath kept things secret. See? All right, this is what he's claiming. That which was kept secret has now been revealed to this apostle, but it came by revelation of Jesus Christ in verse 12. Now, whenever I teach Paul's epistles, I always emphasize, was this revelation after the death, burial, and resurrection or before? Well, after. See? After. And that makes all the difference in the world. See, Jesus couldn't even preach his death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. It hadn't happened yet. He tried to tell the 12 about it, but they never got it. But it just wasn't in the economy of that system of law for Israel and the Jews to understand the gospel of grace. It wasn't meant to be. All right, so now he says in verse 15, I'm doing this because I have to hurry. It's just about over. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his what? Grace. You know, you can do this as well as I can. The other night I took my Strong's Concordance and I counted all the times that grace was used between Matthew 1:1 and Acts chapter 9. How many times do you suppose it was? 16. 16 times the word grace, and it wasn't even used as a doctrinal term, but it was spoken of as a word grace. From Acts chapter 9 until the end of Paul's letters, 84 times. 6 times more is the word grace referred to in Paul's epistles than in everything that went before. Now, that's shocking, isn't it? And yet it shouldn't be, because this is the apostle of grace. I have a book at home. I think the title of it is, it's more or less a biography of the apostle, and it says, The Apostle of the Soul Set Free. And I like that. I didn't like the book all that well, but I sure did like the title. The Apostle of the Soul Set Free. That says it all, see? All right, now then, I've got a few seconds left. All right, so he called me by his grace, and now verse 16. And again, what's the word? To reveal, see? To unveil. His Son in me, that I might preach him where? Among the heathen, the Gentiles. That's his specific calling, to take this gospel of grace to the Gentile. And that's why I put it this way over and over through the years, that as law was given on Mount Sinai to Moses, Paul goes out to Mount Sinai and God gave him the doctrines of grace, which is beyond human comprehension. All right, now reading on for just a few seconds. He said, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach to the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, that would be Mount Sinai. And then he goes on to say that this whole mystery of the gospel was revealed to him.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.